So if you notice, the title of the sermon this morning is, What Kind of Fear Guides You? Now, it may sound a little weird. What kind of fear? Well, I'm not scared. Well, really, you think about it, for all of us here, is that there is fear in all of us, right? There is some kind of fear. Now, the thing is how we use the fear. We all have fear. We're all scared of something. For myself, the fear, if you think about fear, we think about terror. We think of something we're scared of, right? For me, I'm not a spider fan. I don't like them. Don't like them at all. Other people might be snakes. It might be other people. We all have fear, right? But the fear we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to discuss a little bit this morning. We're going to go to Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. It's not the kind of fear that we're talking about being scared. It's the kind of fear that brings wisdom. So let's go to Proverbs 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 real quick. It says, The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction and wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, that first and foremost, that glory be given to you through this. That truth will be heard through your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, for anybody in here, Father God, that's in here listening right now, Father God, that if they don't have a relationship with you, God, that they will hear your word and they'll come to know you. And Father, I pray for those that are believers here. Father God, I pray, Lord, that the way we came in, we walk out differently, that we're in a stronger relationship with you, Father God. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that through this, that you are put a fire in our hearts, Father God. Put a fire in our hearts to reach the lost. Father, I just ask God that you just help this church, help us, help myself, help those that put their faith in you, Father God, to really see who you are. We thank you and we love you. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name, amen. So something, a little background here when we talk about this. So Solomon wrote this, and it's kind of interesting to see, because what Solomon's writing here is about fear and wisdom, right? If you go back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, 7 through 12, does anybody remember what Solomon asked for? Wisdom. First he asked for what? The fulfillment of David's reign, right? And then he asked for wisdom to do what? It wasn't wisdom for himself just so he could be smart, right? He asked for wisdom for the fact that to reign over God's people. Now, I thought that was interesting to me, just for the fact is, and as we go through Proverbs, and if you go past chapter 1 through, it's a book about wisdom and knowledge. And was Solomon a very smart man? Yes. He was. But both work hand in hand here. I want you to think. Wisdom and knowledge. You realize that wisdom and knowledge are two separate things, right? Yes. Knowledge is knowing information, obtaining information. We all know a lot about a lot of different things, right? Some things we do, some things we don't. You ask me to build a house, I can build you a house. You ask me to work on a car, I blow it up. I don't have much knowledge when it comes to automobiles. But wisdom, let's look at wisdom is the fact is how you apply the knowledge that you have. Wisdom is applying the knowledge you have for a purpose. There's your difference. They go hand in hand. Now, you can have knowledge, and you could have very little wisdom, right? Or you can have knowledge, and you can use wisdom poorly or in a mighty way. So one thing we want to understand here is that there is a little bit of a difference between that. Understand, though, that they work hand in hand. But the other part of it is, too, is understanding where it comes from. Let's look at Romans 11, 33 through 36 real quick. It says this. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." So something we got to realize, where does our knowledge and wisdom come from? Our very foundation of our knowledge and wisdom is from whom? God. Everything that we base everything off of is the foundation is laid by God. Now, does that mean we listen to it all the time? There's a thing called sin, right? We screw up. We have sometimes we have these issues that we know where knowledge and wisdom comes from, but for some odd reason we think we know how to do it better, right? And that usually leads to disobedience. So let's go to starting in verse 1. Let's go back to Proverbs here. Let's start in verse 2. It says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight." So something I want you to look here. There's 3 points I want to make just in this one particular verse. Wisdom. We kind of mentioned it before. I already kind of described what wisdom is. Applying skills learned from knowledge to live a godly life. And if you need some notes, just by the way, there's sermon notes back here in the back. You'll have this on there if you need them. But to live a godly life. That's what wisdom is. It's not to direct us away from God, but we use the wisdom to grow with God. And sometimes we, in this world, we have trouble with that, right? So wisdom, instruction, disciplining your moral nature to God's standards. That's the kind of instructions that we're talking about here. Are we listening to God? Are we being obedient to His instructions so it lays the grounds and the guidelines of our moral nature to God, of what He's calling us to do and how we should live and how we should be an example of Him? Then third, understanding. This is a little bit harder. Mental discipline that helps a person mature spiritually and grow discernment. Understanding. One of the things we got to understand here with this is that we never get to the point where we know everything about God, right? I've been through classes and classes and classes, years of seminary, all this stuff. But the awesome part I love about God is the fact is that He is still always teaching me something through His Word. I can read the same book over and over and over again and always find something different that the Lord is kind of is leading and directing me in. Are you taking God's Word? Are you using His Word? Are you using your faith to bring wisdom, instruction, and understanding to your life? Sounds like a lot, right? We live it every day. It's not just doing it. It's living it. You know, God calls us to follow His will, to follow His ways, to be obedient to Him. It's not like a check the box off my list. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. It is a way of life. We are to be an example of Christ to other people by the way we live our life to follow Him. So those three things right there, wisdom, instruction, and understanding, words of insight. Do we go to God's Word? Do we take the opportunity to understand it? Do we take the opportunity to even read it? Because if He is the foundation of our wisdom and knowledge, where should we be spending most of our time for guidance? In His Word. Right off the bat, have y'all noticed something, the direction of this is going? Right off the bat. The direction it's going is not a direction of what we feel like or what we think. The direction this is going is to what God is telling us and what God is instructing us to do. So verse 3, it says, verse 3 says, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. These are disciplines of knowledge and wisdom. Instruction in wise dealing, practical use of wisdom. Use common sense. If God didn't say it was supposed to be that way, guess what? It wasn't supposed to be that way. Make good choices that follow God. We're sinners, why? We make poor choices that doesn't follow God, right? We're disobedient. We're called to seek God. We're called to use wisely, to make good choices that allow us to come closer to Him, that allow us to grow in Him, that allow us to show others to Him. And in righteousness, to be obedient to God with your choices. How do we live a righteous life? We've heard this 1,000 times. And if you've been in church for a long time, I know it's been more than 1,000 times. If you're a righteous person, that means you're being obedient to Christ, right? That means you're following His will. It's not questioning everything. It's just, you know what God says. It's what God says is what God does. That's what He intended to say, right? God's word is inerrant. What He says, what goes. And there's nothing in there that contradicts itself. I promise you. God's word is exactly what it is. It's the truth. Justice, to conform to the standard and will of God. How many are good at that? We all struggle, right? We all have our mishaps. We all have our times of disobedience. We all have our times of slips. But do we strive to be obedient to God? Do we strive to be an example of Him? Or do we strive to be an example of something else? Namely, the world. Are we more concerned about what the world thinks of us? Or are we more concerned on how God is looking at us in our lives and how we lead others to Him and how we be an example of Him? Equity. I like how this was put. John MacArthur said this. He said, equity, living a life in a fair and pleasing way that honors God. This verse right here is telling us, it's basically, you can go back and look at it, it's talking about the moral standards that we have. How do we live our life? How do we be examples of Christ? It's talking about, you know, we got the 10 minutes, now steal or lie. You know, be an example of Christ on how we should live each and every day. We should strive for that. And guess what? We're going to fail. But that doesn't mean we don't fall on our knees and repent and ask God to forgive us to help us get us back on the right track. We all struggle. It's a challenge for all of us through this. So one of the things that we got to look at too with all this and what it's teaching us as well is discernment. There are people out here that are very gifted with discernment. Some not so as others. They're gifted in other ways. But are we able to use discernment to what is of the world and what is of God? Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. To give prudence. Prudence, to impart discernment, to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong, what God calls us to do and what the world is saying to us. Being able to discern that. Guess what? Right today, in this day and age, it is difficult to do. How do we know this is because the very fact of it is we're seeing it on a daily basis. We're seeing the battle. Guys, I'm a youth pastor. I've been a youth pastor for 24 years. The battle has never stopped for youth. They got influences coming at them in every single direction. Are we helping them to see God's direction? Are you seeking the world's direction? Because one leads you one way and one leads you the other, and y'all know where those go. So think about that. But prudence, discernment, being able to use discernment as we grow and mature in our faith, are we able to discern what is of God and what is not? Does it follow God's word or does it not? Discernment. Another part I like here too is to the simple. I'm a simple-minded person. Ask my wife. I'm not a multitasker. You can ask everybody on the youth committee and children's committee. I'm not. I get my mind focused on one thing. Let's take care of that. Then we'll move on to the next. Well, it don't always work that way. But I am a simple person. But what this is referring to in this particular scripture is for those that are the naive and the ignorant to God and His wisdom. The interesting part with this is saying is the root to the word simple, you know what it means? An open door. An open door. And the reason why I like how it says knowledge and discretion to the youth is being able to those. The youth, it's not meaning just youth-age kids, so don't read it that way. It's not what it's saying. The youth, what it's saying here in this one is those that may be new to faith or seeking God's will, the naive, you know. That's who this is referring to, not just your young kids. You think about it. Do y'all know adults in your life right now that need to hear God's word? Do y'all know adults right now in your life that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That is who this is talking about. So this part, and if we move on to that, sorry, it says knowledge and discretion to the youth. What this verse is also saying here is to teach discernment to those that do not know how to keep what stays in their mind and what should come out. There's a struggle, right? We see that struggle today all over the place. We see this struggle of what we put into our minds. Is it of God or is it of the world? And what comes out? Does it look like Jesus or does it look like the world? And there is a struggle there. I like using youth just for the fact I'm a youth pastor. But things that you see these youth these day and age, the influences, even for adults, we got influences around that are trying to push us one way or the other. But what influences you more? God's word or the world? The reason why we say that is because what it's saying here, as a church, as believers, we need to be coming along beside these people to teach, to help them learn, to discern. And if we're not doing that, guess what's going on? What's going on is we're trying to say, hey, you got to make that judgment for yourself, but they've never had actually any training to understand the right and the wrong. What are we doing about it? But we want to come forward to help teach the simple. I'm simple-minded. I'm still learning. I still spend time in God's Word to learn discernment. I still spend time in God's Word because why? I don't know everything. But God is there for me to teach. All of us should be treating it that way. I'm not perfect at it. I could do better. I promise you, in every aspect of my life, I could do better. I could seek God more. I could spend more time in His Word. I can give Him more glory. I can give Him what He deserves. I still stray at that. I still struggle at that. I still don't give Him enough than what He deserves. Why? Because He is God. He is the Creator. So there's still plenty of opportunity to grow in wisdom and knowledge. Verse 5, it says, let the wise hear and increase learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Now let's look at it here. The wise, guess what? That means that you're not too smart. We got some smart people in here. But God is always teaching us, right? God is always teaching. We never know everything. There's no way, no how. Why? Because everything, our knowledge is based off of whom? God, and He was here before we were. Always stay in God's Word. Keep learning. You can know I know people that know Scripture well. They can spout out verses like it's nobody's business. They got it memorized. But the thing is, they may not, the way they live their life, it may not show the wisdom of those things to how they live. I also got friends. Got a great friend. Love him to death. He knows the Bible well, knows Scripture, but he does not believe. He can spout off Scripture, but he does not believe. So it shows you right there, you can have the knowledge. We may not have the wisdom, but that's the point of what we're talking about here, is using that wisdom to better serve God, to come to know Him as believers, but hopefully teach those that don't believe to see who God is in their life. And the other part of this is one that's really important. And please hear me out on this, what I'm saying, what's really important here. Sorry. It's to seek counsel from the wise and who have knowledge and wisdom of God's word. How many struggle with talking to other people about their problems? How many struggle seeking other people's help? One of the areas that we got to look at is seek counsel from the wise, who have knowledge and wisdom of God and His Word, to help you be held accountable to God and other believers. Something I want you to think about here, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Y'all realize we're not meant to do this alone, right? Never was meant to be that way. Number one, you're not alone because you have God. If you believe in Christ, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have God. You have Christ there, right there with you. He's got your back. That doesn't mean He's going to do it the way you want it, but He's got your back. But the other part of it is we got each other. That's why it's called the church, the body. We come together. Seek wise counsel. Those that may have been there, done it. Those that spend time in God's Word, that understand God's Word, to help you hold each other, yourselves accountable to others. You're not meant to do it by yourself. Now, at the end of the day, it's your choice, right? To whether you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But what's the church called to do when somebody comes to know Christ? To come along beside them, to teach them, to help them learn. Seek wise counsel. Put those people around you that will hold you accountable, as well as have you hold them accountable. We got some small groups out here. That's what they're for. You realize what small groups are for, right? Not just Bible study, but you're also holding each other accountable to God, holding accountable to His Word, and somewhere that you can go where you can find people that you can trust, that you can talk to. You're not meant to handle all this stuff by yourself. The world throws stuff at you all the time. Makes it difficult. All of us have been through difficult times. You're not meant to handle it by yourself. But understand, the iron sharpens iron, what Proverbs 27 says, 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We're not meant to handle by ourselves. In verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. To understand and sharpen the mind. How do we do that? To understand proverbs and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. How do we do that? One, we got to spend time in God's Word and His truth. We got to spend time in it. I think I've said this before, but a survey several years back in 16, I believe, but a survey several years ago showed that the average household has two Bibles in the United States, has two Bibles in it. But yet we spend less The average household spends less than an hour a week in God's Word. And the scary part is they spend much less time in prayer, communicating with God. The other scary part with that is, too, just thinking about this, is the fact the average pastor spends a small amount of time a week in prayer in the United States. Now, if you ask me, we're called to understand a proverb and a saying, if we're not willing to put the effort in to follow God, we're not willing to put the effort in to spend time with Him, how are we going to have understanding of God's Word? It's the truth. To understand life, to understand how hard life is, to understand how difficult it can be, how hard it is to follow God in a sinful world, in this world, the direction it's going, it's difficult. We got to be able to understand God's Word and be obedient to God's Word to help function in this world, the life that He's calling us to live. Do you spend time with Him to understand? Some verse 7 here real quick. Now, we're going to spend some time on verse 7. This is kind of the point I'm going at here with this. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here's something John MacArthur had to say. He said, the fear of the Lord is a state of mind in which one's own attitudes, will, feelings, deeds, and goals are exchanged for God's. Y'all realize what I said? Are exchanged for God's. Meaning, our wants are no longer important. God's is. Our attitude is not about us. It's about whom? God. Our will is not about what we want, but it's about what God wants. So something you want to think about here. In this verse, the fear does not mean terror. It does not mean that you're, in this particular verse, not saying are you scared of God in a terror kind of way. No, it's not saying it. What it's saying the fear is reverence, is awe, is inspired by God. It's like a parent. Let's think of it this way. We got parents. How many of y'all, did y'all fear your parents at all? Now y'all lying. I know better than that. I did. It wasn't out of terror. I feared them because I knew who they were. They were the authority over me. They love me, right? I'm here. I haven't missed too many meals growing up. They took care of me. But it's no different than what God is saying here is when we fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fact it is, it's bringing out that fear is understanding who God is. Do we serve a reverent God? Do we give Him the reverence that He needs? Do we give Him the focus and the priority that He deserves? When you look at God, when you read His Word, are you in awe of what He's able to do? When you spend time with Him, do you see His authority, not just over us, but all of creation? We just went through about Israel and end times. Is it happening the way God said it was going to happen? Yes. When we give worship to God, do we give Him the reverence that He deserves? Do we give Him the praise that He deserves? One of the things I pray for, and we did this morning with the praise team this morning before, so they could practice, is one thing I try to pray every morning for, just because it's even for myself while I'm here, is that I put aside distractions to be able to focus on You, Lord. sitting here now in this worship service. We're here. We get to come on a Sunday morning once a week, right? On a Sunday morning as a church body to worship Christ. Do we give him the reverence he deserves? Do we understand the authority that he has over us? And the reason why I ask this and on this end of it is because there's two different kinds of fear. There's a good fear, right? That's the fear that brings you to God. Then there's a bad fear, a fear that separates you from him. And the reason why I say it is because all of us have this battle going on with us on how we do things in our lives. Does it give reverence to God, an example of Christ to others? Or do we live a life that is completely separate of God? That we don't give him the reverence that he deserves. That we may say the world knows better than what God does. That's a problem right now. Think about this progression here, wisdom. Number one, this is, and think about it this way. I was just praying about this and thinking about this. It says, number one, we teach about God, right? First and foremost. We got VBS, right? Now, does every kid that comes to VBS, do they have a relationship with Jesus Christ? No. Every single person in this building right now that comes in here every Sunday morning has a relationship with Jesus Christ. No. But they're still being taught. They're still hearing, right? First, you teach God. Then you learn, right? You want to seek more. You need to know more about him. You learn who he is. And as you learn about who God is, guess what happens next? A fear of God develops because you get to see and understand who he is. He is the Almighty. Y'all understand what that means? He is over everything. He is not just love. He is also just. Understand God on both directions. This day and age, we're seeing God is love, God is love, God is love. Is that true? Yes, but you cannot focus just on one side. You've got to give the bigger picture because why? He is love, but he's also just. He does not like sin. He hates it, matter of fact. We can see throughout scriptures, he loves us. He provides for us. He says he would if we put our faith in him, and he does. But also, what has he done throughout scripture when it comes to sin? Look at the Old Testament. We can see many times he wipes cities off the face of the earth. He is just. That's how mighty of a God that we serve. He is the creator. Everything that evolves around us in our life is because of him, right? Then after, when we learn that fear of God, when we start seeing who God is and we give the reverence he deserves, we see the awe of who he is, guess what happens? That's when you come to know him. You ever thought about that? When you understand who he is, you know him. You come to know him. Because you see how much he loves you. You see what he's done for you. You understand who he is, and he is the only way to heaven through Christ, right? There's no other way. Doesn't matter what the world says. Christ said it pretty clearly, right? He is what? The only way to the Father. And then after you start knowing him more and everything, guess what? Now you start to learn the fact that it's called imitating God. Now you're becoming an example of Christ to others. Not just are you having knowledge and wisdom. The wisdom is now coming to the point to where it's applying to your life and it becomes an action of how you live your life. I found that really interesting. You got I look at it this way. Welcome to the Children and Youth Ministry. You got VBS. You got kids that are coming to learn about Christ, right? And then you're teaching them throughout the week. And all of a sudden, you got kids that are learning more about him and who he is. Then all of a sudden, they develop a little bit of a fear because they understand who he is. He is the creator. He brought you into the world, he can take you out, right? And then after that, they come to know Christ because they're learning more about him. And then we're called to imitate him. We're called to be an example of him to other people in this world. Or to show his love to others. Pretty neat little process, I think. Pretty simple too, really, if you think about it. but it's also hard because we've got so many different influences coming at us. So we've got two types of fears. One that brings you to God to develop a love for Him. And then you have a fear that separates you from Him. Look at the end of verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Guess what? They don't fear God. And if you lose fear of God, that's a major problem. Example. Your kids. If your kids don't have a little bit of a fear of you, and they just look at you as a friend all the time, look out. My friendship, I love my daughter. And she has heard this many times from me. I love you, but I'm not your friend. I'm here to provide. I'm here to help, teach, and learn. But first and foremost, I'm your parent. It's no different than what God looks at us. He teaches us as His Father. He's our Father, right? He disciplines us. He's teaching us the whole way. And through that, we're learning knowledge. And through that, we are learning wisdom. How do we apply that to our lives to live it out each and every day? That's what this is saying. Another quote from John MacArthur, it says, while the unbeliever may make statements about life and truth, we've heard this before, right? He does not have a true or ultimate knowledge until he is in a redemptive relationship of reverential awe with God. Do you truly know who God is in your life? Do you treat Him the way He deserves? One of the hardest things that we've seen is in youth and schools and stuff, and it's difficult because it's for adults as well, but I'm just using the youth example. We like to ask questions. I ask a lot of questions. Doesn't mean I get an answer, but I ask a lot of questions. But one of the things I do ask is, so what is the scary part about not sharing the gospel with other people? Why do we not do it? We're scared, one. Why are we scared? Well, I don't want to hurt other people's feelings. I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to lose a friendship. But here's the scary part with that. If we're giving in to the world at everything we do, we fear the world more than we do Christ. If we're allowing the world to manipulate on what we do, how we think, and how we move forward, guess who we're fearing more? The world. We're giving the world the awe and reverence that it does not deserve, that God deserves. If we're here, we're sitting here. And this is a challenge, stepping on toes, stepping on my own. Believe me, I was beating myself up this week over this sermon. If we're sitting here listening to God's word, and we say, I'm a believer, and we say, I follow Christ, and I put my faith and trust in Him, but we're not trying our best to live out a life that shows Jesus to others, guess what we're doing? We do not fear Him enough. We're fearing something else. And the problem is, that hurts me too, because there's been plenty of times that God's put me in my place to show me the times I have missed the opportunities He's put in front of me to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about that. So is fear driving in the driver's seat of the knowledge and wisdom that you use on a daily basis? Is it a good fear? Or is it a bad fear? One of the things, another question I'd be willing to ask. Do you fear creation more than you fear the Creator? Think about that one. Do you fear creation more than you fear the Creator? If that's the case, we got things backwards. If that's the case, the world's going to keep going the direction it's going. Scripture tells us that's the direction it's going to go, right? God knows already. He created it. He created us. He gave us specifically instructions on how we should be doing it, to give us knowledge and wisdom on how to live our lives to be an example of Him to others. Are we doing it? So something to think about. Are we too worried about hurting somebody else's feelings rather than teaching them the truth? Let me end on this. It's a quote from Billy Graham. Actually, I just read this morning. I was like, wow. It says, "The troubles and problems of the human race have stemmed from the fact that it has followed the wisdom of the world rather than the wisdom of the Lord. Each person has the equal opportunity of choosing which kind of wisdom they will choose." And he ends with Psalm 111:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I'm going to tell you right now, world, it's not getting easier. This world is not getting easier, church. It's not going to get easier on us either. But we're called to make a stand for Christ, to show His love to others, not to separate, cause them to separate from God. Understand that. We're called to seek Him, seek Christ in His Word, to gain in knowledge, to gain in wisdom, and how we apply that in our everyday lives, every step of the way. Not just on a Sunday morning, or what goes on, an event that goes on in church. We're talking in between the Sundays is just as important, if not more important, than a Sunday morning. How are we being an example of Christ to others between the Sundays? We're here to come together to learn. We're here to come together, to worship together as a body. But it wasn't intended to stay here. It was intended to go, when we leave here, it's intended to go out into this community and into the world. There's lost people everywhere. There's lost people everywhere, and it's our job. It's our job. You realize that, right? We're the plan. There's no plan B. We're the plan. To share the good news of Jesus Christ with those. Might be scary, but guess what? God's got you back. Be willing to step out of our comfort zones to serve Jesus. Don't be scared. Our fear should come from Christ alone. And fear of Him, meaning we know God, we love God, He is the authority over our lives, and we're willing to lay it all down and be obedient to Him. The altar's open this morning. The altar is open. Come, lay it down for the Lord. If you want to know the Lord, you got to, believe me, you got to humble yourself. You got to understand that He is over us, that He is the authority over us. It's not about us, never has been, never will be. The fun part is we hear people say, "This is my church." No, it's not. It's God's. We got to humble ourselves to follow Him. Because we got to understand that He is the authority. We need to fear Him. We need to show Him the reverence and the awe that He deserves. The altar is open. I'd love to come pray. I'll be down here as well to pray with you. But church, as a whole, we need to be praying together. We're not meant to handle this by ourselves. We're meant to handle it. First and foremost, we got God behind our backs, but we got each other. So do as the Lord is calling you to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, just thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for who You are. And Father, I just pray, Lord, even for myself, Father God, that You just help me to see more clearly who You are in my life. Father God, that I can put away distractions. Father, that what the world tells me doesn't mean a thing, but what You tell me means everything. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for all of us here. Father God, whatever battles we're going through in our lives, Father God, whether it's pride, whatever it may be, Father God. Father, I pray, Lord, that through this, Lord, through Your Word, Father God, that through song, Father God, the truth would be heard, that You are the one that can handle all of it, that Father God, that You're the one that we can turn everything to because You have this. And Father, I just ask, Lord, for our church, for this church, that You just give us a fire in our hearts, Lord, for the lost, for those that need to hear the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, also for our church that you can, that we can build each other up for you, Father God, that we can be an example of you to others, Father, that we can look at it, Lord, as a way of holding each other accountable to you and to your word. Father, I just ask, Lord, that you just give us direction and guidance and as we move forward, Father God. But Father, I pray, Lord, that you just give us a fear for you. Father, that we can see the authority of who you are. That we see you as the Creator. We see you as our Father. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that by this we have an obligation. We have a command, Lord, to be obedient to you, to go out. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you just lead us to the rest of this service. Father God, I pray, Lord, that people come to you this morning, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that if anybody here does not have a relationship with you, Father God, I pray that they have come to learn who you are, that you're the Almighty God, that you're the Creator overall. You're the Alpha, you're the Omega. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that for all of us here, Lord, whatever's going on in our lives, whatever troubles, whatever issues, whatever influence that we have, Father God, that we lay them down to you. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.